prossimo.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
Hi, I'm AJ. I go to school at Leibree. I'm 9 years old, and I recently moved from Manhattan to Elizaville. But I technically feel like Hudson's my home because we come here a lot.
It's true, you do. And we're here every week talking about books.
Yay!
Books we love, books we don't love so much, and other bookish things, and sometimes some random topics that come up related to books in some way.
Remember the first day when I came here and we were talking about books and somehow it got related? Oh yeah, because I said the ice cream fact and then everyone started talking about ice cream.
Favorite ice cream flavors? It's bookish. Somehow.
Sure.
But yeah, so we're usually here with our friends Amelia and Lena, and they're not here today, sadly, but we're here, so that's happy.
At Yay. Least it's not just one of us. Like if I showed up and then you weren't here,
you.
And then I would have to be like, hello, radio listeners, this is the Bound by Books show, and
Yeah, I don't like hosting a show by myself. There's plenty of people on WGXC that do that, and I don't know how they do it because I really need someone to talk with. I don't like talking out to the listeners by myself.
It's kind of creepy.
As like, lovely as you all are out there, you don't talk back to me in a way that I can hear you. But feel free to talk with us during the radio show. We'll pretend we can hear you.
Yeah. Hey, what did you say, listeners?
What was that? Huh? Oh, yeah, I totally agree. You're so wise. So have you been reading anything interesting lately, AJ?
Yes, I have. Since February is Black History Month.
Yeah.
I've read a book called Who is Sojourner Truth in the Who Is mm-hmm. series.
That's the series with the drawings with the people have big heads, right?
Yeah.
On the cover?
They're yeah. like, why is my head so much bigger than my body? I don't know why.
That'd be really awkward. But they're very popular books.
Yeah.
Was this your first Who Is book?
No, I've read a lot of others, but I can't remember the names. I just forgot because I read way too many of them.
Yeah. So what did you learn about Sojourner Truth?
Well, she was born a slave. Her name is Belle. And most of her family members got sold off to other slave leaders, kind of. I don't actually know the correct. Slave keepers, mm-hmm. sort of, slave owners. And as she grew up, she learned to work as hard as a man could because she was the one in the family who had to work at the crops. And Sojourner, well, her name wasn't really Sojourner, but I'll get to that later.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got sold off to many other slave owners, and then eventually she married another slave, and then she had 5 children. I forgot all of the names, sadly. I could have told them to you, but
that's okay.
Anyway, they were nice names. Mm-hmm. And so one day she escaped in the dark of the night with the newborn because the others could take care of their dad and themselves. And then she was a slave again, but then she got rights to be former slave because she was free to do what she wanted. But it was still hard for her because of all of the no blacks here signs mm-hmm. and the colored signs. And so she was in New York City. And then as her daughter grew up, I think that her daughter had to be shipped away, but then her son was shipped away, but it was illegal, and she went to court, and she fought for getting her son back, and she won. And all this time as I was reading, I was like, why does this seem so familiar to me about some person? And then as I thought of that, I kept reading, and it turns out that she got her name Sojourner Truth because she was going to go on a ferry and someone asked her for her name. She thought about this for a while. She didn't want to be called her name that she has been called by her slave owners, Belle. She decided to make up a name, Sojourner Truth, because Sojourner means traveler, and she meant truth because she was going to spread God's word. And the book basically ended there. And with my question on who it was, I was thinking, what if Sojourner was actually one of my ancestors? And this is like very exciting for me because I'm like, what happened? She has no known, well, she changed her name and it was legal to do that, I think. So who knows who her daughters and sons got married and who her brothers and sisters married and who they led to. Maybe I am a descendant of Sojourner Truth. It's very exciting. Maybe I can be like her third great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren four times removed.
Or a cousin. Yeah.
Or maybe
I can interesting be with
like a grand sister.
A grand sister? Is that a thing? A grand sister? No. That'd be a cool word. We should figure out.
Grand sister. It's like you're so close that you're a sister, but you're actually kind of like a grandchild. So a great, 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 great grand sister.
Yeah. That's like some cultures have, they use terms like cousin brother or cousin sister. And it means like their cousin who's a man or cousin who's a woman. Like they use that to kind of define it.
Cousin brother.
But it also, I feel like often in families where I've known people that use the term cousin brother or cousin sister, their cousins are closer to being siblings than like how close my cousins and I are. Although I love my cousins. Shout out to my cousins.
Mine too, if they're even listening.
But my cousins aren't like siblings. They're like cousins.
My cousins live, well, my closest cousins, one of them is at school in Buffalo. Shout out. And the other two are living just a couple blocks away from my grandma in Queens. Mm-hmm. Shout out to them too.
It's nice that they're pretty close. I mean, I guess Buffalo's and New York City are far, but they're close enough. But you liked the book?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you have any books that you are willing to talk about?
I do. Although one thing I think is really interesting about Sojourner Truth is that she is from relatively close to here.
I think somewhere across, maybe in the border, because yeah. She kept on fleeing from different places and eventually she got really close to Manhattan, so she fled there.
Yeah, I know at one point, or for a time at least, she lived in Ulster County, which is where like New Paltz is, and the library at SUNY New Paltz is the Sojourner Truth Library. But I think often when we hear stories about slavery, they're talking about the South and how horrible it was in the South. But there was also plenty of slavery up north
as
well.
There was slavery in the North, but the majority of the people up north were against slavery. But there were still some people who owned slaves. So.
Yeah, but she's very inspiring. So an excellent choice for reading in Black History Month.
Mom also kind of half forced me to read it.
Are you glad she half forced you?
Yeah. To read it.
To read it.
Because we were at a library and I wanted to read a comic book, but Mom was like, no, if you're at the library, you might as well learn something. And so she gave me the book and I was trying to read it, but there was a Valentine's Day event. Not at the Hudson one, but I think Rhinecliff or someplace. Okay. And while they were doing the event, I was reading. Yay. Yeah, I am kind of glad.
I will say you can sometimes learn things from comics too.
Yeah.
Both from stories, but also there's some nonfiction comics as well.
Like Smile and Guts and Sisters, mm-hmm. and El Defo. And there are a bunch of biographies on famous people, like on Amelia Earhart and
Satchel Paige. There's a new one about astronauts. I think it's about female astronauts.
Yeah,
called astronauts.
I read that one.
Oh, did you? Was it good? Was it astronauts. Interesting?
Astronauts.
I want to read that one. I haven't read it yet. And I really liked, there was one, I can't remember how much it was nonfiction versus like loosely based on reality. I don't know. There's a book called Primates that's about three women who were scientists that went into the field, and they were three prominent women who each focused on different primates, hence why the book is called Primates. And one is Jane Goodall, which many people know her name, and Diane Fossey, and then Brute, I forget her last name. She's the one I knew less well. But one of them worked with chimps, one with mountain gorillas, and one with orangutans.
So what was the one who you forgot their last name once again?
That was the woman that worked with orangutans. Her name's Barut. So why don't we something.
Just why don't you ju- we just call her Barut Cowboy Grandpa?
No. We can't just call everybody Cowboy Grandpa, as fun as it is. Let's see. Barut. Okay, so the book was called Primates, The Fearless Science of Jane Goodall, Diane Fossey, and Barut Geldikas by Jim Ottaviani and Maris Wicks. So it's definitely, I learned a lot about these three people from this book, but actually the publisher themselves in this review that they wrote of it, they said, one of the questions that we frequently get asked about this book is it nonfiction? The answer is, it's difficult to tell. Primates is ostensibly a nonfiction biography about three different women who work with primates, Jane Goodall, Diane Fossey, and Barut Geldikas. It tells about their lives and their work, and the author and the illustrator both did a lot of research and endeavored to be as faithful as possible to the historical realities of their subjects. So why is it difficult to tell if it's nonfiction? Graphic novels are one of those things that it's hard to fit in the nonfiction category because everything is so described that it's just about impossible to be 100% accurate. And there you go.
Nice description.
Yeah.
Oh, and speaking of Jane Goodall, have anyone of our viewers and
listeners? Nobody's viewing us right now. Is there a spy cam in here?
Viewers, listeners, what I mean is anyone out there is listening to us talk right now has ever heard of The Far Side. There was this comic that was about two chimps, and there was the mother and there was the father, and the father was being picked at by the mother, and the mother held up a string of hair and said, another blonde hair. So have you been hanging out with that Jane Goodall person again? Or something that's, like that.
It's disturbing.
Well, Gary Larson, the author of Far Side, actually met Jane Goodall, so... She actually read it a couple of, I think, weeks or months after they met. So that was very interesting for me to know because there was this little section about Jane Goodall in there.
Cool. Well, I do have a book to talk about, and it's a graphic novel. It's not a nonfiction graphic novel, but it was lovely, and I probably learned something from it. Because you learn things from reading fiction, too. Just saying. But it is called Snapdragon. It's by Kat Leigh, and it's about a young woman named Snapdragon. It goes by Snap. And at the start of the book, I'll just read a little bit from it. You can't see the pictures, but Snap is riding their bike down the road. Says, our town has a witch. She fed her eye to the devil. She eats roadkill and casts spells with the bones. That's the kind of bull that dumb kids at my school say. Witches ain't real. She's just an old loony. But they also say she eats pets, so I have to be sure. And Snap has a dog collar in her hand, so she's worried about her dog who's gone missing. And so she has an encounter with the witch because she actually finds her dog there, and her dog is missing a leg, and she's worried because there's stories about this witch eating pets. And the witch, in quotes, comes out and says, of course, I'm eating him piece by piece, kind of thing. But then Snap yells, like, I'm not scared of you. And so the other person says, yeah, I just found your dog and healed him up. And so then Snap leaves, but then the next day Snap finds a possum that is dead, but that stomach is moving, and she's able to rescue the possum's babies. And because she now knows that this woman is not a witch, but actually helped her dog heal, she brings the possums to the witch, who's again not a witch. She learns later that the witch is actually an old woman named Jax, who has an eye patch. And she brings the possums to Jax and asks Jax to take care of them. And Jax says that she'll take care of the possums if Snap helps her take care of the possums and also helps her with her work. So Snap starts going to see Jax every day and learns that what she actually does with roadkill is that she goes around and gathers the dead animals. And she does this little thing where she puts her hands together in a clap as a way to kind of send their spirits out. And then she buries them until their bodies disintegrate. And then she takes the bones out of their graves and makes them into skeletons that she then sells online as like scientific models. So that's where all these rumors about her being a witch come from, because she actually cares for these deceased animals and like does something with them.
Better to do that than eat them.
Yes, true. Although there's something to be said for eating fresh roadkill if you eat animals. Why not? But anyways.
How can it be fresh roadkill?
If something just gets hit. I've heard of that happening around here where like a deer will get hit by a car. And then if it's just recently been hit, somebody that eats venison, they might as well make use of the meat.
At least they were already injured instead of just like, well, I'm not saying that it's a good thing to shoot deer. I know that I eat hamburgers, but shooting deer. But I know that eating hamburgers is like eating cow ground up, but eating venison for me it's like I just can't stand the idea.
Do you watch too much Bambi?
Well, I actually don't like Bambi that much. Oh. It's just the actual images of deer are cute, but images of cows
are cute too.
Not that much.
I love cows. But anyways, I don't think this is an actual spoiler because I think it's in the description. But in addition to this realization that Jack's actually, like, there's reasons behind the myth of her being a witch, it turns out she does have some magical powers. And Snap, kind of along the way, finds out that she maybe has some magical powers too. And so that becomes part of the story, is them figuring out Snap's powers.
Does she?
You have to read it to find out what happens.
Is it in the library?
Oh, yeah. That's where I borrowed it from. It's a really good book. I loved it.
In which section?
I wasn't sure if I was going to love it. I feel like the art was not my favorite art of all times, but the story was really good. And I mean, the art was good. It's just, it wasn't. I feel like there's certain artists where I feel like their artwork is so beautiful that even if the story is not that good, at least I enjoy the art. And I feel like this one was more story driven. The quality of the story was really good. And I liked the characters. There's a lot of side characters that I didn't even mention, but it's a really nice book. Highly suggested. And yes, it's available through the library.
So are the background characters Tom, Dick, Harry?
I don't remember all of their names.
Larry.
But Snap lives with her mom. And then Snap also has a new best friend that they make along the way, who's very cool and has their own little storyline. And then also Snap's grandmother factors into the story, too. There's some nice things with that.
What section is it in?
What section's the book? Like in the library?
Mm-hmm.
It's in the kids' comics section.
Let's hope that mom will even let me look at the book, even... Because she's not that into comics.
I love comics.
Nothing against mom's idea of not
AJ's
being
mama.
That into
comics are great. I love reading comics. I read other books too, but
she's just not into the idea of wasting
it's not
your ideas, your brain on comics instead of actually learning things.
So she likes nonfiction. It's not about the comics. It's about fiction versus nonfiction, or
she just wants there to be a little bit more information. She's not totally against comics, though.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Mom,
reading comics also helps. No,
nothing against
your mom is wonderful. But one thing that comics do that other books don't do is they help build visual literacy skills. So there's that. Go comics.
Yay.
And one thing I really like about nonfiction comics, too, is that because they're usually not an in-depth look at something because they have pictures, so the words are more limited. But I think with comics, if they're done really well, nonfiction and others, but nonfiction in particular in this moment, they can be really effective in getting you interested in learning more about a subject. And so then you can go from reading your comic to like doing some research on your own, either looking up other books or looking up articles online to learn more about a subject. So that can be really good. And sometimes the information sticks with you better if there's pictures involved, which I know there's nonfiction books that aren't comics that also have pictures. And I actually love reading those as well. I like a good visual element.
I have another book
you
to
do?
Share.
What's that?
Well, it's actually a series. It's the 39 Clues.
Oh,
and
yeah?
It's,
I've never read those.
I keep going back to that section to reread this book, but Mom's like, you already have a book out. You can't check it out.
Oh.
And I'm like... but I keep forgetting to check out the book. So sad. So anyway, it's a series, and the series, The 39 Clues, there are three big characters, Amy, Dan, and they're all pair, like pairs of pairs.
Pairs of pairs?
They're all pair.
What?
They're babysitter.
Oh, they're au pair. I thought you said they're all pairs. And I was like, pairs of what? So it's about the three kids and their au pair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Off air, off air.
Okay. I might be saying it wrong. I was definitely hearing it wrong. But anyways, go on.
And Amy's and Dad's grandmother, Grace, died. And when all of her relatives went to this funeral, they went into this kind of like secret room where it says, take $1 million and walk away, or go find 39 clues to get a prize greater than man has ever seen or thought of, or something like that. I forgot. That was all in the first book. And of course they just take the 39 clues. Although the $1 million could have really helped their financial stuff and stuff like that. Sure. Because they weren't exactly living in the most luxurious place on earth. But anyway, they start traveling the world. And what I really like about this is how there's always a lot of suspense in the books about what's going to happen next. And I like Dan a lot because he's always so enthusiastic about things, and he's also a big eater like I am. And he's excited whenever because from unknown relatives, they always get sent these things like Visa cards and gold cards and cards like that. And they're really independent. But I also like Amy because Amy is more practical and she likes reading a lot of books. And, well, this is technically a sub of the characters, but Nelly is the au pair, which just makes me giggle when I think of her being a pair.
I was thinking a pair like two. Like a pair of socks.
The au pair. She was, I'm just going to stick with babysitter now.
Okay.
She is also kind of into food, but she's more like relaxed and she's into her phone a lot. But she's really getting into the search for the clues. Plus, they're technically getting a trip around the world that you don't need to plan for. You get to go somewhere that is completely unexpected. Hmm. And they have a cat named Saladin, who is a cat, and he really likes...
Shocker.
And he really likes red snapper fish. And Dan is obsessed with Saladin. So when he looked, and he's like, because I read books 1 through 7, and in the 7th book, they're in Egypt. And when they were learning that they were going to Egypt, Dan was like, oh no! Because, and then he said, there's no red snapper in Egypt, so Saladin's going to kill me! Which I thought was really funny. Yeah. And then there are all these secondary characters. For example, the Eisenhower family. And the Hope family. Well, I think of Eisenhower because that's the dad's name. And he's the most popular Holt. Like, they're more like jocks, like huge burly people. Even the women are huge and burly, and they're hysterical because they're like running around trying to chase after Amy and Dan, but then they think that they messed something up. And just the way that they interact with the other characters, all of them, the way that all the characters interact with one another, it's just so hysterical. And there's this other really important character that I think I should bring up. His name is Alistair O, and he keeps on disappearing and reappearing. It's like nothing can ever kill him. He's been in a fire, he's been in an earthquake, he's been in a crumpled down building, and he just barely escaped. The twins were there too, but they were under worse conditions than he was. It was like he barely even had one scrape on him.
Magic man.
And I'm almost done with the 7th book, and I'm really interested.
Cool. I was about to ask how many you've read. Do you read them all in order?
Well, I skipped a couple, but
there's also a bunch of like other 39 clues, and there's 39 clues double cross or something like that.
Yes, I'm not going to read those until I actually finish, because I think there are 11 books, but shouldn't there be 39 books because there are 39 clues?
That would make sense.
I think the extra books are actually where you get more of the clues, so I'm going to read those afterwards. Cool. Although they do seem to be in order with the other books, so maybe I should have read those before reading the other books. But I actually didn't even know those existed until I went to the library.
Yeah, one thing I like about the series is that they're written by all different authors, and they're all like really good, like sort of acclaimed authors.
It seems like they're just the same one. They're all so similar.
Like the writing all sounds the same?
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to remember who they're all written by. Like Peter Larendis, who actually comes to the book festival. So you could meet him this year if you go to the book festival.
Hooray!
Linda Sue Park, Rick Riordan, Margaret Peterson Haddix. Gordon Corman, Jude Watson, Jeff Hirsch, who also has come to the book festival a number of times. I don't know if he's coming this year. Roland Smith, Natalie Standifer, like these are all names that I know well. Like we have other books by them in the library, but they all read well together. Like they all have a similar style, even though they're written by different people.
Yeah, it all seems like they're all the same book, but it's one huge book, but just split in different parts so that it's like, I think that they wrote it out as one huge book, but then they split it in order and came up with names for them.
Well, if you're looking for those books at the library, we have them all together. We thought that was better than separating them by author because you want to read the series. You're going to try to find them all together. So look for 39 clues.
They're on the second shelf behind the huge Wimpy
Kid. Yeah, by the Wimpy Kid.
I'm so wimpy.
Anyways, we're just about out of time for today.
No!
But we'll be back next Monday to talk about some more books.
Let's hope that we're not alone this time.
I bet we'll have some friends next week. But at the very least, we'll have each other.
Yay.
Hope everyone has a good week with lots of quality reading time.
See you.
Happy reading.
Bye.
Bye.